In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. It's good to see you all here this morning. This gospel reading reminds me of Vacation Bible School about 30 years ago. It was a crazy, wild, fun time. In the parish hall, somebody brought in their rowboat. And they put a blue tarp on the ground because that was the water. And grown men would get in the boat and act this out for the kids. So you can imagine crazy guys and me in the back of the boat. It was so much fun. We had that boat rocking without any water. And then we had someone, of course, pretend to be Jesus walking on the water. And these grown men were freaking out, crying. You know, it was so much fun. So much fun. Crying out because they were scared. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. You know, never forget that. It was so much fun. And that was really hard not to laugh. So we see Jesus waits all night, waits until about 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. All night long, the disciples had been rowing and rowing and rowing against the wind and the waves. They were exhausted. They had pulled an all-nighter. And Jesus comes. Now, last summer, I went bioluminescence kayaking. Have you ever done that? It is so cool. You got to do it this summer if you have a chance. You wait until the hottest day and when you don't have any moon, and you go out like the waters by Coco had contacts. So we went bioluminescence, and you barely skim the ore across the water, and it just glows. It is so cool. So we did that, and then we thought, oh, well, let's go kayaking around. So we're kayaking around all over the place, and we're like, hey, let's go have some fun. Let's go underneath the bridge. Big mistake, because the other side of the bridge had wind and waves. Like, it was probably only like that big of waves. But when you're in a little kayak, it is really scary. We were like hitting the waves, going, dun, 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 we are, you know, hitting the waves, and it was splashing us. And then we got, oh no, we had to turn around to come back. That means the waves have to hit us on the side and we're going to flip over. Oh no. What are we going to do? Because if I have to flip over and get back into the kayak, that's not going to happen. So, fortunately that did not happen and we got back on shore. Everything was good, but it can be really scary at night being in the water with wind and waves, especially when you're tired or incredibly out of shape. And I'm sure that's what they were thinking. They were tired. They were exhausted. And Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Now, we know how it turns out, but these guys are scared. They've never seen anything like this before. They don't recognize Jesus. They think he's a ghost. That's kind of weird. Like, are they thinking that this is the Grim Reaper coming to get them? I don't know. Were they expecting Jesus to meet them on the other side of the lake? We don't know. And Jesus says, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. A better translation of this would be, take heart. I am. We'll get back to that in a second. Do not be afraid. He is saying, I am. I am the Lord. Like ego and me. If you're into Greek, right? So back in good old Exodus, remember Moses sees the burning bush and God told him, hey, you're going to go get my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses is like, what? How am I supposed to do that? What's your name? And God says, I am who I am. I am is the word for God. I always thought that was like God can't conjugate verbs, like whatever. Anyways, I am is the word for God, right? So when Jesus says, take heart, I am, all the thunderbolts should come down. I am. Jesus is saying, I am. I am God. Take heart. Don't be afraid. The other times he said, I am, there's several times, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. I am. Another really cool time when Jesus said this was when he was arrested. You know, he had Maundy Thursday. He gave the disciples the Eucharist, washed their feet. He goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays like crazy. The disciples fall asleep. He prays some more. They fall asleep again. He's praying. There's sweats of blood coming down from his forehead. And he gets arrested, right? Judas comes up, gives him a kiss, and he's arrested. And they say, I've got to find my notes here. Who are you looking for? And they answered, oh, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replies, I am. And then they all step back. Now, these big burly soldiers and chief priests, these big guys with swords, they step back when they hear, I am, and they fall down. So when Jesus says, I am, it's not just like, oh, I am here. It's, I am God. Jesus has just said, hello, it's me, I'm God. Be cool, don't be afraid. This is just a little storm, we got this. He's saying, I am divine, I am God. I am in control of this creation. That's how I can walk on water. The next thing we see is Peter saying, if it is you. If it is you, which I did not find in any commentaries, but this is theology of me. Perhaps Peter is testing God at this moment. And I have no idea if this is the right interpretation or not. I'm just throwing this out here. If it is you, like Jesus in the desert, Satan says, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Is Peter testing God at this point? If you are, really I am, command me to get out and walk on the water. I don't know if that is or not. Or maybe I'll have to go get my PhD and make that my thesis. I don't know. But Peter wanted to walk on the water with Jesus. He thinks it's going to be fun and cool. I don't know why. Maybe Peter just wanted to get on the water because he loves Jesus and he wants to be close to him. You can think about that tonight at 3:00 in the morning. Why did Peter want to get out and walk on the water? Anyways, Jesus says, come. So Peter steps out of the boat and he walks on water towards Jesus. And then he pays more attention to the wind and the waves that are probably only that high, but who knows? He's distracted and he starts to sink. And Peter cries out, Lord, save me. He reaches down and pulls him up. Jesus did not scream at Peter, what do you think you're doing? I can't believe you just started sinking. He didn't fuss at Peter at all. He did not yell at Peter. He did not let him drown to prove a lesson to him. He did not push Peter down into the water. He reached down to where Peter was and pulled him out of the water. And they together went safely to the boat. And the wind and the waves, the storm calmed down. See, it's very easy to get distracted by the wind and the waves when Jesus calls us to do something. Mm-hmm. Bernard of Clairvaux, he was a French guy in the late 100s to early 11th century, right? He was a monk that became a abbot, that's the word. And he was also the guy that started the campaign for the Second Crusade, which didn't turn out very well, but he's written a lot of good stuff. So, The Steps of Humility and Pride. It's a great book. He describes a ladder, and you can look it up. If I had known I was going to talk about this, I would have put it on the front of the bulletin, but that didn't happen this week. So, imagine a ladder, and on top of the ladder is Jesus. And there are angels on the ladder to help us up the ladder as we grow in likeness to Christ. We go up the ladder. We are leading away from sin and away from pride. So that's going up. Going down the ladder is going away from God and ultimately severing our relationship with God. Okay? There are demons trying to throw people off the ladder or throw them down the ladder. So it's kind of scary. It is like a medieval thing, right? But this is a great concept. When we are going down the ladder, we are turning to ourselves, turning into ourselves. We compare ourselves to others. We notice their faults, and we think that we are extra special. Mm-hmm. For Bernard of Clairvaux, the first step is comparing yourself to those other monks. Ah, Can you believe that guy next to me? His monk outfit has a wrinkle on it, and he does not kneel as perfectly as me. Yeah, that's where it all starts when you're comparing yourself against other people. When you're taking your eyes off the Lord and you're starting down the ladder, you become selfish and you distance yourself from God. We become like a 2-year-old having a temper tantrum. We've all seen those. We've all experienced those with our kids. I want what I want and I want it now. And I don't see why I can't want. I want it now. Give it to me. We want God to be the Amazon Prime God in the sky. And fortunately, our descent into vileness, now that's Bernard's word, not mine, which hopefully we will see that we're going bad, will lead us to wake up to ourselves in our sinfulness and lead us to want to change, to say that we're sorry and repent and want pardon from God. So that's St. Bernard saying, if we're going down, hopefully we will go so bad and so quick that we will realize, ah, what have I done? And we will turn towards God. Yep. So going up the ladder, right, going towards God, fortunately we have help going up the ladder by the Holy Spirit and angels and God helping us. Jesus is on top of the ladder. So imagine you're walking up the ladder. Jesus is up on top going, come on, come on, come on, come on, you can do it, you can do it. Jesus took on flesh and became one of us in the incarnation. So he understands what we're going through. He understands, and he is our great high priest interceding for us. He knows our weakness. He knows, ooh, that person there, ooh, I know their weakness. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what we're going through. And he helps us because of his incarnation. He is 100% human and 100% God. And he still is that right now, this very second, interceding for us before the Father. His death, his resurrection, and his gifts of mercy and grace help us go up the ladder. So he calls from the top, come on, you can do it, you can do it. I know you can, I know you can. Come on, look at me. I am meek and I am humble of heart, so come on. You got this, we can do it. It's like a little kid learning how to walk, right, a toddler. And they're toddling along the couch for several weeks, right? And then all of a sudden, you're over here and you're holding the Mickey Mouse or whatever. And they reach up and they take a few steps on their own before they fall down. You got the picture in your head, right? What does the parent do? The parent claps their hands. Oh, you did it. I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited for you. You came, you're walking, how exciting. When the kid falls down, they wipe away their tears. When they skin their knees, they get their boo-boo bunny out. We had a yellow SpongeBob refreezable block, and we would call that the boo-boo bunny, even though it was SpongeBob, and we would put that on the little knees. God picks us up. And when we fall, when we mess up, when we are sinking into the sea, when we take our eyes off of him and we are overwhelmed by the wind and the waves, when life is just too hard for us, he comes and he wipes away our tears. He sees our scars, he sees our pain, and he knows what we are going through. Peter cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and saved him. When we cry out, Lord, save me, God hears us. When we are in doubt, when we are afraid, when life is shattered, when our hearts are breaking, when everything is dark and not the way it should be, we pray, Lord, save me. Help me, God. And Jesus reaches down his hand and grasps us. Not just like a little grasp like this, like, oh, come here, leave me. No, it's like trapeze catcher getting your hand. He is holding on to us, not us with him. If anything, it's like this. But he has got us. He's not going to let us fail. He is catching the trapeze guy that's flying through the air, and he's holding on to us. Holding on to us for literally dear life. Because he gives us life. He never abandons us. He knows what's going on, and he holds us close. He knows. He understands. He knows us better than we know ourselves. The risen God, the risen Christ. God is not a fragment of your imagination. He's not an imaginary friend. It's not some neuron in your amygdala firing away in your brain. God is real, and God knows you. And he loves you, and he cares for you. He is the Lord, and he died for you and for me. He passed through death to lead us to safety. So before we even begin to seek him, he is present right next to us. And he lifts us up when we fall and helps us to grow in faith and love. See, we may think that we're all alone or abandoned or hiding in a little dark corner all by ourselves, and there's no way out. We cry out, Lord, help me. And he is right here. He's been with us all along. He is God. He is the I Am. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.